Hello and welcome to Radio Prague. My name is Kate Barrett and we begin the programme with the news. Around 60% of Czech voters would like to see Prime Minister Stanislav Gross resign, suggests an opinion poll published in Friday's edition of the daily Lidové noviny. Mr. Gross, who for some time was one of the most popular politicians in the country, has come under increasing pressure recently after allegations he bought his Prague flat for more than he had officially earned. The Prime Minister has insisted he will not step down over the affair, which he's described as artificial and part of an orchestrated campaign against him. Speaking in the lower house on Thursday, Mr. Gross reiterated that he would undergo security screening in order to clear his name. The Czech Republic is to send another 40 soldiers to Afghanistan in March, the Defense Minister Karel Kuno said on Thursday. The Czech troops will serve in a German-led NATO reconstruction team and will be based near the town of Faizabad in the north of the country. They will focus on maintaining security, protecting international units, and cooperation with local people. The Czech Republic already has a 15-member army team in Kabul. It deals with explosives and takes part in weather and geographical observation. The Czech Republic's national air carrier, Czech Airlines, transported a record 4.34 million passengers last year, up from 3.6 million in 2003 and 3 million the year before, a Czech Airlines spokeswoman said. By preliminary unaudited results, the carrier made a profit of more than 250 million crowns, or around $10 million, in 2004, after years of losses. Last year, Czech Airlines also added 10 new destinations. Passengers were mostly interested in flights to London, Paris, Amsterdam, New York, and Moscow. In 2004, Czech Airlines extended its fleet, having acquired 10 new planes, the highest number in its history, and operating a total of 45 aircraft at the end of the year. Czech Airlines operates Boeing 737s, ATRs, and Airbus 310s. The Czech government estimates that almost a quarter of Czechs can make themselves understood in English. According to government official Ivan Fischera, the Czech Republic scored better than, for example, Latvia, Portugal, Poland, and Hungary. The government of Stanislav Gross has put forward a new plan called English for Everyone, aiming to improve the nation's knowledge of the language. 67% of primary school children over 10 years of age learn English as their main compulsory language, which is the third lowest percentage in this age group in Europe. The Czech Republic's ice hockey team have lost their first game at the Swedish Games in Stockholm. The Czechs were beaten 3-2 by the hosts after the game went to penalties. Their next match is against Finland on Saturday. The Swedish Games are part of the four-nation Euro hockey tour, in which the Czech Republic are ranked third. And the weather? The end of the week should be warmer and sunny, with occasional snow and daytime temperatures around plus 6 to 7 degrees Celsius. I'm Kate Barrett, and that's the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. In today's program, we look at efforts to integrate long-term foreign residents into Czech society, find out how one Prague district is fighting back against graffiti, and reflect on the artistic legacy of Jiří Voškovec and Jan Verich, pre-war Czechoslovakia's most celebrated comedic duo. All that and more is coming up right now, so please stay tuned. According to a newly released study, last year over 308,000 people in the Czech Republic were licensed gun owners. That's about 3% of the population. The Czech Interior Ministry says that about 632,000 firearms are now legally held in private hands, but the number of registered owners is on the decrease. Dita Asiedu has been poring over the statistics and joins us now in the studio. Dita, what do these numbers say about Czech gun ownership? How do these statistics compare to other European countries?
Well, Brian, at 3%, the Czech Republic is on the lower end of the European scale in terms of gun ownership. But I think that it could do better because the Netherlands, Hungary and Estonia have even fewer registered weapons, with not even 2 firearms for every 100 people. The Czech Republic has 6 for every 100 people.
Now, Dita, basically no civilian was allowed to own a gun under communism, so it became very popular after the revolution to own one. But it was also a matter of security. Isn't that the case?
Yes, that is right. After the fall of the communist regime in 1989, many new businessmen who didn't trust banks or were not given credit acquired guns because they had to walk around with suitcases full of money when they made transactions. Now, the Interior Ministry's Milena Bachkovska, though, from the Security Policy Department, says that's just speculation and there is a much simpler reason.
The number of people owning guns increased after the revolution, but that's only because the Firearms Act before 1989 was very strict and it was virtually impossible for a civilian to legally hold a firearm. After the revolution, the law was changed to allow ownership, but under precise conditions. So a civilian was able to acquire a gun, and that's why we recorded this significant increase in gun ownership.
Now, while the number of gun license holders hasn't changed much for the past years, in fact, there have been records of a slight decrease since 2001, the number of registered guns themselves has increased, and that by 15,000 from the year 2004. But these are mainly hunting rifles and sporting guns.
So how many crimes have been committed with legally carried firearms?
Well, in 2004, there were 78 crimes known to have been committed with registered guns, and that apparently is a very low number compared to other countries.
Good news there from Dita Asiedu. Moving on now, prior to the revolution, foreigners were quite rare in this country, but since 1989, immigration has risen significantly. That increase led to the formation of the Committee for the Integration of Foreigners in the year 2000. It aims to create long-term legislation and practical measures for the integration of foreigners. The committee recently had a special survey conducted, and one thing is clear. The bureaucratic procedures involving work and residency permits are a major obstacle for long-term residents. Nicola Brabenek reports.
Long-term foreign residents now make up 2.3% of the population. Many of them complain that renewing their work and residency permits is a bureaucratic nightmare. Artyom Yefimov, a graphic designer from Russia, has been living in the Czech Republic for the past 5 years. He has to renew his visa at the Foreign Police Office every 12 months. His experiences are far from unusual.
First of all, I have to wait for several hours in a long line, and then I have to even fight to get in. Just to put my papers to the officer. Also, I had to get 2 or 3 visits to the office, finally to get a visa. So for many people, it's quite complicated. Sometimes people feel like cattle, or even worse.
I asked Mr. Yefimov what he thought could be done to improve the situation.
I think they should to come up how to make an order in this process to let people communicate with them easier.
What's so hard about communicating with the foreign police?
I think they don't have any interest to be really friendly. I quite understand they're tired about all of us. We are like a bugs flying around. They probably don't want to see us. Anyway, if they're officers, they have to be more friendly and to find some way how to serve each person.
Ms. Zuzana Smolikova is the director of the Committee for the Integration of Foreigners. She concedes that major improvements are needed.
Making the law more transparent is definitely important. Another thing is the practical side. What I mean is the approach of office workers, issues such as the lack of language skills, as well as their attitudes towards foreigners. In the case of the foreign police, they do not approach foreigners as clients, but more from the standpoint of a repressive body.
The survey simply confirms what foreigners have known for a long time. The real task of actually changing legislation and attitudes now lies ahead.
Nicola Brabenek reporting. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Those of you who have visited the Czech capital will have noticed that many of the beautiful facades of Prague's historic buildings are marred by ugly graffiti. This problem is faced by many cities around the world and has been approached in different ways. A few years ago, one of Prague's districts decided to do away with graffiti, and its scheme has brought visible results. Pavla Horakova reports.
Prague 6 is one of the city's larger districts. The central parts of this leafy, upmarket quarter were built in the first half of the 20th century with a good sense of urban planning, including a lot of valuable architecture. No wonder that the local residents frown upon those who damage their pretty district.
It's stupid.
Pokud jde o ty tagy, tak to je jako boj těch lidí z té subkultury, který opravdu upřímně.
The tags are just fights between members of gangs in the subculture. The people who live in those buildings and have to look at it really don't care about that. I think it's a certain selfishness and childishness of that generation.
Je to určitý, myslím, takový jako dětinský sobectví té generace.
No tak jako je to hnusný, že jo, to vůbec jako zkažej, že jo, nám zkažej školu, že jo.
It's ugly. They're destroying the buildings, even our school. I would fine them, at least.
A few years ago, the authorities in Prague 6 launched a Stop Graffiti program, the main principle of which is the immediate removal of graffiti. If any appears in the area, it is painted over within 24 hours.
The Stop Graffiti program is based mainly on the experience of international metropolises, especially of Chicago. Until 2002, the graffiti were removed only from the houses in the city ownership, and 3 years ago the protection expanded onto private houses as well.
Martin Šalek is the spokesman for the municipal authority. He says that cleaning every piece of graffiti in the whole district within a day was very costly at the start, but the strategy has proved an efficient deterrent and the costs are now lower.
The number of houses needed to be cleaned decreased by 28%, which means the money saving of about 100,000 euro. It's not just about the money saving related to the graffiti removals, but there is an important fact that the buildings stop being the interesting target of the sprayers due to the instant removal of their creations.
The psychology behind the Stop Graffiti program is simple. As the special paints the sprayers use are quite expensive, they think twice before they paint on the same building again if their work is cleaned immediately every time. In order for the whole of Prague 6 to be clean, the town hall has invited property owners to join the program too.
The program has become very popular among the public as well. There are about 400 listed owners with their 1,500 buildings. The graffiti removal expenses are covered by the municipal town hall from budget.
Encouraged by the positive results, the Prague 6 municipality is determined to continue removing graffiti from facades until, as they hope, the sprayers give up altogether.
Pavla Horakova reporting. The trailer for Snowboard Djatci, or Snowboarders, the biggest grossing Czech film of 2004. It was an unexpected smash hit, making several of its young actors into teen idols overnight. For generations, skiing has been taught by Czech schools, but now in the wake of the film's success, many pupils are demanding snowboarding lessons instead. Rosie Johnston has the story.
That's On My Head by Dan Barta from the soundtrack of Snowboard Djatci. It's been all over the airwaves since the film's release in early November. So far, over 500,000 people have seen Snowboard Djatci at the cinema, and many of them, especially teenagers, have been inspired to take up the sport. Eliška Rafajeva is a sports teacher at the Opatov Gymnasium in Prague. She's qualified to teach her students snowboarding and explains why they prefer this to learning how to ski.
They find skiing a bit boring because it's a sport of their parents and the other adults. So they really like snowboarding because they can feel it a bit different comparing to the parents. and even the new film in the Czech cinemas, Snowboardiaci.
Even before the release of Snowboardiaci, snowboarding was becoming ever more popular in the Czech Republic. There are now 9 specialised snowboarding pistes in the country, and not enough snowboarding instructors to meet the demand. And with so many young people taking up the sport, parents are asking just how safe snowboarding actually is. Eliška Rafajeva again.
I think when taught and learned properly, it isn't any more dangerous comparing to skiing. Yeah, so it's new, it's exciting.
So 3 months on and the film is still in the top 10, its popularity unabated. But with its fan base consisting mainly of today's teenagers, who remain unqualified when it comes to actually teaching snowboarding, it may take a decade or two before we witness a real change on our slopes.
Rosie Johnston with that report. And now it's time on Radio Prague for the arts with Martin Mikulay.
Jednou z lesa, domů se nesa, moudrý Ezop, potká brabce, který brabence málem sezop.
The great Czech actor and comedian Jan Werich was born 100 years ago this past Sunday. Together with his lifelong friend and longtime acting partner Jiří Voskovec, also known as George Voskovec, the two enormously talented men were just a few months apart in age and grew up together. It was they who made the so-called liberated theater of the 1920s and 1930s famous. It remains an icon of pre-war Czechoslovakia culture. Voskovec and Werich were pioneers of avant-garde theatre, but also gifted comedians, singers and writers. As theatre historian Jiří Just points out, the duo served an inspiration for their contemporaries, but also for future generations of artists.
Co se týče jejich přínosu pro české divadlo, tak si myslím, že by celé hnutí malý divadel.
In terms of their contribution to Czech theatre, I believe that the whole movement of the small theatres, as well as the Czech film New Wave in the 60s, would not have evolved without the impulse of the liberated theatre. Whether we speak of theatre, literature, or music, their strong influence continued throughout the whole of the 1960s, even though the theatre had disappeared long before. Their plays were still performed, their songs were widely played, and above all, many new theaters were inspired by their example.
Voskovec and Werich met in high school. Their first show, the legendary West Pocket Revue, was in fact originally designed for a student party. When they joined the Liberated Theatre in 1927, they continued to perform the revue along with dozens of other successful comedies. Within a few years, the Liberated Theatre became one of the most popular scenes in Prague. Performing to the music of Jaroslav Ježek, the father of Czech jazz, contributed greatly to their meteoric rise to stardom. Voskovec and Werich features in many films, some of which were known even outside Czechoslovakia, says Jakub Škorpil, who has done extensive research on Pair's body of work.
They were regularly reviewed in German press. Of course, mainly lately when there became some controversy between fascist regime and their performances, which were quite strictly anti-fascist at the end of the 30s and which led to closing of Liberated Theatre at 1938. Some main performances were occasionally reviewed in France, German and other countries, also in Russia. So I think they were known in their times.
Voskovec and Verich's unconventional humor often poked fun at the pompous petty bourgeoisie and is often seen today as left-wing, which is not always warmly appreciated in a country with a communist past. But as Jiří Just says, the humor should be understood within the context of the times.
They were no more left-wing than any other interwar avant-garde artists. Of course, they pointed especially at nationalism and patriotic clichés. Between the wars, these clichés were used mainly by the ultra-right-wing fascist forces, at which they focused their satire, but they were quite critical towards communists as well. And I have to say, their left-wing cues were nothing compared with what was at the same time written about the Soviet Union's Leon Feuchtwanger, Bernard Shaw, or Heinrich Mann, and the myriad of writers and artists who had the illusion about Stalin's Russia.
Ahead of the widely anticipated German invasion of Czechoslovakia, Voskovec and Verich, who were known for their anti-fascist humor, both fled to the United States in early 1939. They returned to their homeland after the war and re-established their theater in Prague, but it was not to last for long. The communists seized power in February 1948, and the humor of Voskovec and Verich was not welcomed by the new totalitarian regime. The liberated theater again closed its doors under political pressure. While Jiří Voskovec returned to the United States and settled there, his partner Jan Verich stayed on in communist Czechoslovakia and made a glorious career as a theater and film star. Although he is sometimes criticized for his loyal attitude to the regime, Verich also fell into disgrace with the communist authorities after openly siding with reformists following the Prague Spring of 1968, the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia. Meanwhile, Jiří Voskovec had taken the stage name of George Voskovec and became a respected actor in America. Jakub Škorpil again.
George Voskovec, yes, he was a quite successful actor. He's best known for his play of Juror number 11 in 12 Angry Men in movie, but he also played some main roles in TV series at the end of 70s. It was Skag. And he also was quite successful on Broadway, where he played in some long-running performances. He also received an Obie Award for his role in Uncle Vanya.
A huge number of events are now underway to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the birth of Jiří Voskovec and Jan Verich. I asked Jakub Škorpil to guide me through an exhibition at the Prague Town Hall and comment on some of the interesting pieces.
Those are parts of diaries or letters of very young Jan Verich, and their opposite are also the same pictures of very young Jiří Voskovec, in which we could see small developments of their future humor and how their poetic would look like later.
This panel, we are just standing in front of it. It depicts the time when Voskovec and Verich immigrated to the United States.
Well, those are the pictures from the 40s. There are four pictures when they are joking, because those are taken when they arrived to Hollywood and they just made photos so that it looked like they were greeted by some huge crowd in Hollywood. And they are playing the role of two actors arriving to Hollywood, two internationally known actors. In fact, nobody was waiting there.
Also, there are some pictures, they look like they are from much later period, because both Voskovec and Verich, they are already buried and sort of elderly men.
Yes, those are pictures from Vienna when they met in mid-60s. They've met after they were departed. They've met, I think, four or five times only, unfortunately, because, of course, Jan Verich wasn't allowed to travel to Western Europe as often as he would like to.
So George Voskovec was not allowed to visit Czechoslovakia anymore?
Yes, he was not allowed because he was afraid that there may be some danger from communist police. There was one chance in, of course, 1968, when we have Prague Spring. So there was chance for him to come to Czech Republic. He was already planning it, but then in America he started to play in musical cabaret and was playing 8 times a week, so he was unable, or the producers did not allow him to come to Czech Republic.
Já vám nemám tyhle lidi rád, co se nechtějí a neumějí smát. Řekněte mně, má to smysl, takhle si kaponit mysl.
Voskovec and Werich met for the last time in 1974 in Vienna. Although they chose different paths, their destinies were more closely intertwined than either could have imagined. They were born and died within a few months of each other.
Začne se souvání, na každou totiž nožku, má ponožku a v botě vložku, a stačí bláta trošku, prošoupe rohošku.
And that edition of The Arts with Martin Mikulaj just about brings us to the end of today's programming. He was profiling the artistic legacy of Jiří Voskovec and Jan Werich. Remember, if you'd like to learn more about anything we've profiled today, or if you happen to have missed a program, we do have a webpage, www.radio.cz/English. We've got loads of material available in both text and sound. You can also write to us at Radio Prague, 12099, Czech Republic, or send us an email, english@radio.cz. For me, Brian Kennedy, and all of us in the studio, thanks for listening.